This is Daf HaShavuah, Shir number 2 for Daf Pei Dalin Maseches Klos. We're on Pei Dalin and Aleph, about 2/3 of the way down at the Mishnah. Misha Meis V'hiniach Isho Baal Chol V'yoshim. We have a case where there are several people who are claiming money from the estate of a man who passed away. So he passes away, he has a wife, who obviously wants her ksuvi. There's a Baal Chov, he obviously owes money to this creditor. And V'yoshim, and of course, there are the Yoshim, there are his children, who are waiting for the Yerusha. So the question is, who takes precedence, who has priority? V'hayolo pikadono milva biyad acher. And he had a pikadon, which is a deposit, something being watched by someone else, or milva alone in the possession of someone else, which means that here you have someone who doesn't have any karka. But there is metaltolin that he has with someone else. His money went to someone else. So here we would say, so maybe the people who he owes money to should be able to collect from there. So who is going to be able to collect those metaltolin for the claim that they have? Is it the Isha, the Baal Chov, the Yorshim, who takes precedence? So it says the Mishnah like this: Rabbi Tarfon Omeri Nastu La Koshel Shebahem. You give it to the weakest one. Now, who is the weakest one? So we don't know who that is yet. Look at the first Rashi on the Mishnah. Inastu La Koshel Shebahem. It's a little bit less than halfway down. The Gemara Mefarish Mainiu. The Gemara will explain who this is. So hold on one second. I thought movable of the Yusomim are not Meshuba. There's no lien upon that to pay back a Baal Chov or a Ksuva or the woman. So why would we say that this Metaltalet that's in the hands of this third party should be there? Why shouldn't that go straight to the Yusomim, not to the Baal Chov, not to the Ksuva? So the answer is, it's not in their rishus yet. It's not in their rishus just yet. They're also making a claim for Yerusha. And therefore, so we have the right to take it out of the hands of the lover, or the one who's holding on to the deposit. The person who passed away, the deceased, he was chayv to pay Baal Chov or Ksuva while he was still alive. So maybe it's there. Maybe they have the right to them. And in fact, that's what the Gemara is going to explain, that Lakoshel Bahem, the weakest amongst them, is not the Yerushim. It's either the Baal Chov or it's going to be the Yalmana, wait, the woman for the Ksuva, and we're going to see that in the Gemara. So Rabbi Tarfon's opinion is, who do we give? There's this Pikadon and Milabiyat Acherim that this deceased person had. He doesn't have any real estate. So we give that to the weakest amongst them, which is either going to be the Malva, or it's going to the Baal Chov, that is, or the Isha. Okay, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Ein Maracham in Badin. Now, when it comes to the law, we don't have Rachmanis at all. Elo Yinasnu La Yorshim, give it to the Yorshim. Why would we say that they have the greater right to it? So the answer is, the mission explains, Shekulon Tzrichim Shvua, all of them meaning the Almana, the Isha, right? And the Baal Chov, the Malve. So if they want to collect, they have to take a Shvua. But when our Yoshim Tzrichim Shvua, the Yoshim do not need a Shvua. Let's take a look at Rashi. Inasna na Yoshim lo mahanya tfisa, which means even if, let's say, the Baal Chov or the woman would seize these metaltolin from the hands of the person who's holding on to it, it doesn't matter. We take it away from the Malve who seized it, from the Isha who seized it, and we give it to the Yerushim. That's Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Why? Shekulon Shichim Shvua. Because all of those people, the Malve and the Isha, in order to collect, they have to take a Shvua. The Stam and Pirkin later on in our Perek, we're going to learn in the Mishnah on Pezayin, Habali para minichse yisom lo yipara el b'shvua. You want to collect from nichse yisomim, you have to take a shvua. V'chol zman shalun ishvua, lehem nirushus b'hem. And anytime anyone is coming to collect, the Isha for her ksuva, or the Baal Chov for the loan, for the milve, they have no right without taking a shvua. They have no rishus in the possessions, in the property. The ain anu yodin im yesh lehem alav klum. We have no idea whether they have a real claim at all. It's theirs, and that's it. And that's what Rabbi Akiva means. So it's really just the opposite of Rabbi Tavri. Rabbi Tavri, you give it to the weakest one, which is either the Malve, the Baal Chov, or the Isha. And Rabbi Akiva says, absolutely not. It goes to the Yorshim. It does not go to the Malve or to the Isha. Now the Mishnah continues with, we're going to speak about Peirosa that are detached. Hiniach peros tulushim in akarka. This person who passed away left produce. The produce was detached from the ground already. It doesn't have the status of karka. Here it's already metaltalin. So what do we do with this? Here we have the same thing. We have these people who are waiting for their claims. Money is owed to them. So kolakodim bahem zacha bahem. Whoever seizes it first is able, takes possession, and this and they're able to take it. The Gemara will explain that we're talking about where the Yorshim don't have this, they didn't take hold of it. Take a look at Rashi. Kalakodem Zvahem Zach, a little bit more than halfway down. Kidmu Yorshim Zachu. If the Yorshim come first, they seize it first. They're Zoch in the detached produce. They're also waiting for something. They also have a good claim. Vein Motzim Yadam. And we don't take away the detached produce from them. Why? Because they have the right to keep it. Because there's no shibud on movables that the Yorshim have to pay back a Baal Chov for the Ksuva. But let's say, what if, let's say, the Yorshim did not come first? The Isha and the Malva came and grabbed the detached produce. This is a case where the produce is not, we're not talking about a case like in the ratio where there's a picado and milva in the hands of someone else. Here we're talking about this is, that's no real estate, but this is sitting right here as something that belonged, detached produce that belonged to the deceased person. So, if the Isha and the Mava come first, they're also Zachahu. Why? Drabi Tafrin Islay Tfisa Delachar Misa Mahanya. So he claims that doing any Tfisa at all after Misa, that's going to be effective. This is Rabbi Tafrin's opinion. But let's say they took more, says the Mishnah. Zachsa Isha Yosha Miksuvasa. She sees more, she got more than the amount of Iksuva was. Or the Malveh, he now took hold of more than what was owed to him. Hamos, what do you do with the excess? Rabbi Tafrin Omer, then you nas the black hoshels ahead. Then you give it to the weakest one, which once again we said is either the Isha or the Mav will have to see in the Gemara. And Rabbi Akiva Omer, no, with that surplus, Amer Acham Nimadin, once again, we don't have Rachmanis, Eli Yunas the Yoshim. The Yoshim get it. So that Shekulam Trichim Shavua Vein Ayochim Trichim Shavua for the same reason that we gave before. Take a look at Rashi. Zachsa Isha Yeser Al Ksuva Son Kadma Vitafsa Vish Yoser Min Aksuva O Kodam Al Chov Vitafas Ishbem Yoser Al Chovo. Then what do you do? According to Rabbi Tafron, the leftover, the excess, Hamosi Nasnu La Koshel Shabahem Zebal Ashtar. This is the one who is holding a star. She Yadu Al Atachtona. He is he's the weakest one. He is he has the lower hand. Vim Yavo Liyada Yisomim Shuvlo Yotzimehem. Lo isha v'lo baal chov. If it would come to the hand, once the Yisomi take hold of it, so then the Isha and the Baal Chov can't take hold of it, and that's why they are considered the weakest ones. Says the Mishnah, says the Gemara like this, Lomali lemisni milveh, lomali lemisni pikadon. Why do you have to give me two examples where this guy who passed away, he didn't have any real estate of his own, but there's a pikadon or a milveh in the hands of someone else, and the question is, who gets that claim? Do the Yorshim get the claim? Does the Malveh get the claim? Does the Isha get the claim for a ksuva? So why do I need two examples, a pikadon, a deposit, and a milveh? Tzrichos legamos, you need both. The tana milveh, because if you would have the case of just the loan, I would say, now that's where Rabbi Tarfon says that the Yorshim don't get to take it. Why? Because they milvah's lohutzanin. That principle, the idea is that money, when it's lent, there's an assumption you're spending the money. A pikadon, an object that you watch, it's not supposed to be used at all. But look at the first Rashi on the Gemara. We don't assume the money's still around. When someone borrows money, we don't say, oh, you're borrowing the money, hold on to the money very carefully, and after 30 days, you're going to pay back the money. Obviously not. He borrows the money to spend the money. It's lohotzonitna. Demechasra guvaina. It's not ben. It's just lacking being collected. That's why we don't assume after the man passes away that this milveh that's in the hands of someone else should automatically be that of the Yorshim. Why should it be that of the Yorshim? It's not an object that the person who passed away owns Be'en, it's the money that he lent. So, and that money was able to be spent. So we don't assume that that money should belong automatically to the Yorshim. But Aval Pikadon, the Easter Be'en, but that's intact, that's there. That person's holding on to that Pikadon. And that Pikadon used to belong to the person who passed away. Maybe Amo, the Modele of Rabbi Akiva, maybe Rabbi Tavon, the good of Rabbi Akiva, that the Yorshim should get it. So therefore, I need you to tell me the case as well of a Pikadon. Well, maybe the other way. V'tanaha, and if I just had the case of the Pikadon, maybe Bahakama Rabbi Akiva, that the Yorshim get it. Why? Because it's Be'en, because it's intact. Aval Bahach, but in the case of money, of a Milva, Ema Modele Rabbi Tavon, maybe he would admit to Rabbi Tavon, since Milva Lahotza Nitna, that should not automatically go to the Yorushim. Maybe he would agree with Rabbi Tarfon that we give it to the weaker person, and therefore Tzricha, we need both cases. Ask the Gemara, Maila Koshel, who is the weakest person? So this is Machlokes. This is Rabbi Tarfon's opinion that we give this Pikadon, this deposit, or the milva that was in the hands of someone else. Remember, the person who passed away has no real estate for in order to pay back the Isha and the Baal Chov. He just has this metalton in someone else's hands. So who gets it? Not the Yorshim, says Rabbi Tarfon, the weaker one. So it's either the Isha or the Baal Chov. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosha Bechanina Omer Lakoshel Shabaraya. The one who has the weakest proof. Now, who has the weakest proof? It's not necessarily the woman, nor is it necessarily the malver. It's whoever has the star, the latest star, the most recent star. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Akoshel Shabaraya, let me about 10 or 4 or so lines from the bottom. Lemi Shestaro Mu'uchar, the one who has the later star of the later date, Shelo Yuchal Utrof Lukuchos Hakonin Lo. He won't be able to seize any property from people, from the purchasers, as opposed to the one with the star with their earlier date. If any of the property of the original owner was sold to someone else, who's going to get that? The one with the earlier date on the star. So who's the weakest one? The one with the latest date. That's the person who's going to get the metaltalim. That is Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina's opinion. Rabbi Yochanan Omar. No, the Ksuvas Isha. We assume, you know, who's the weakest one? The woman is. The payback, to pay back the Ksuva. She's the one who gets the deposit or the milvim money, that metaltalin. Mishum Chino, because of Chain. Chain is grace, is favor. Take a look at Rashi. The Ksuvas Isha, he kruya koshel. She ain't dark olachzor achar nechseh hameis. She doesn't normally go around to try to find the property. What is he have kaka? That's not what a woman normally does. And therefore, because of chino next Rashi, she chino she yimtzu anoshim chen beinei hanoshim v'yunu suos lahem shlo tidagano lahafsid ksuvasan. They shouldn't worry they can lose their ksuva and want men to marry them. So therefore, let her take. Let her, she should be able to get that milveh money or that pikadon. Ketanai, the Gemara says, in fact, this machlokes between Rabbi Yosef Bechanin and Rabbi Yochanan was argued by Tanaim as well. Rabbi Binyanan Omer Lakoshel Shabaraya, the one who has the weakest proof, which we said, oh, whoever had the latest star date. The who kosher, and that's kosher. That's the right thing to do. And Rabbi Yosef Omer l'ksuvas isha mishum chino, so there'd be favor. People would she'd find favor in the eyes of men potentially in order to marry. All right. Then we men spoke about the detached produce. This is not where there's money in the hands or a pikadon in the hands of someone else. This is where the person who passed away didn't have real estate, but he had peros tulushim. So what do we do with this? So we said in the Mishnah, kol akadem hem zacha, whoever grabs it first. So says the Gemara like this, Rabbi Akiva, my iri amoso, and then the Mishnah said, rather, so I fully understand what's happening here, The Mishnah had also said, then let's say there's surplus, that's excess, meaning the woman seized it, let's say, but there was more than she needed for the ksuva. The ksuva, let's say 200 zuz, she seized 500 zuz worth of this, of these detached produce. Or the Baal Chov, the loan was for $1,000, he seized $1,200 worth. So what do we do with the extra? So Rabbi Tarfon says, you give it to the Koshel, the weaker one. Rabbi Kiva says, no, ein rachamim adin. After all, we give it to the one who doesn't need a shavua in order to collect, which are the Yarshim. So the Gemara says like this, Rabbi Akiva, my irio mosar, kulu nam di Yarshin havu. Rabbi Akiva says, oh, by the way, you know, ein rachamim adin. So when there's mosar, we give it to the Yarshim. According to Rabbi Akiva, It shouldn't just be we give it to the Yorshim when there's excess. He should disagree with the whole concept of kola hakodem hem zachavem. Whoever seizes it first should get it. That shouldn't be true according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva should hold even if there's no excess. Who does it go to? It goes to the Yorshim. So Rabbi Akiva, mayir moser kulunami d'yorshin havu. All the produce belongs, not the surplus, the regular amount goes according to Rabbi Akiva. So says the Gemara, yinachi nami. You're absolutely right. Rabbi Tarfon was speaking about Moser. So by Rabbi Akiva, we use the word Moser as well, but you're absolutely right. According to Rabbi Akiva, all of the produce, even less than excess, even the regular amount of the ksuva or the loan are not going to the a woman or the malve, respectively. Rather, they're going all to go to the Yarshim. So the Gemara asked now on Peidalim and Beis, Rabbi Akiva Tfisa Lamahanya Klal. You're telling me that, hold on, Rabbi, according to Rabbi Akiva, your Tfisa is not going to work. Which means what we're basically saying is Rabbi Akiva disagrees with Rabbi Tafrin completely. That Kol HaKodem Hem Zacha doesn't work. If the woman grabs it, the Baal Chov seizes it, it's meaningless. Is that really true according to Rabbi Akiva? So the Gemara says, after all, isn't that there is such a concept of seizing of tefisa? So the Gemara says, you're right, but this case is different. Amar Rava Amar Nachman Husha Tafas Mechayim, meaning what Rabbi Akiva holds is like this. Rabbi Akiva doesn't say that tefisa doesn't work at all, but Rabbi Akiva will say if the mava, let's say, sees that property, those detached produce, let's say, when the person who passed away was still alive, so then he's allowed to keep it even after the person passed away. So it sounds like that if you look at Rashi, Amar Rav Nachman, Mahanya Hecha de Tafas Mechayim Shalmei. So the person who had passed away, the detached produce, but when he was still alive, it was seized by this person, by the Malveh, let's say, then he can keep it. V'hachi Gomar La Rav Nachman Rabbi. Rav Nachman had a tradition from his Rebbeim that Rabbi Akiva agreed that there is a case that Fusa works, and this is the case. Either Rabbi Tarfon, the mancha hecha, according to Rabbi Tarfon, says that the woman, the isha, and the malva are able to take hold, to seize the produce and keep it, and the yoshim won't get it as long as it's not excess, even after the father passed away. But the mancha hecha, where's the produce literally sitting? Where's it lying when the father passed away that we're talking about tfisa? It's a very strange, look at Rashi. The mancha hecha, three lines down, hanach peros, dechom rabbi tafron, the mishas miso lo zocha bahem yoshim. That the yoshim are not going to be zocha bahem at the time that the father passed away. Elo yizka bahem hakodem, but the one who come first is going to grab them and they're not going to the yoshim. Where are they sitting that someone else is going to grab them? Think about that. If father passed away, the has detached produce, where are they? The pilot sitting in the field of their father, and they yoresh the father's field, they yoresh the father's stuff, it's in their house. Why is the woman or a malva coming and seizing it? It should automatically be there. So the Gemara says, Rav Shmuel Demar Tavayu, v'hu shetzivurin umunachim b'rishos harabim. It's where the detached produce is piled and placed or resting in rishos harabim when the father passed away. Well, the yoreshim then don't automatically take hold of it when the father passed away. It's not in their property. They inherit property, but it's not in their hands. And therefore, the potential is that it could be seized by someone else. So you must have a besimtolo. But if it's a simto, it's like an alleyway, which has partially reshus hayachid, so to speak. If that's where it is, then no, it's automatically going to belong to the yarshim. Look at Rashi. So Rashi says, Vesimta, four lines down, Karen Zavis, the corner, Hasmuch L'Rishus Harab. Umanei Adam, we speak about a simta, we're speaking about making kinyanim. Can you make a kinyan there? Is it considered that you brought into someone's private property? Umanei Adam Ha'osim Schora Zem Zebeshuk. People are doing business with each other in the market. They want to speak, have their conversations calmly. What's quiet, v'yishav adas, and with a little bit peace and tranquility, mistalkin sham, that's where they go to. So now the Gemara says, so if it's a rishus harabin, I understand completely why these people can seize it. But it's in a simta, then no, we don't say kol hakodim zocha. Ava b'simta lo next Rashi. Ava b'simta lo amar b'tarfon kol hakodim zocha. Why not? It came in the makom haroi l'kinyan. Who since a simta is a place where you can make a real kinyan. Kedamin in the alma, as we say in general in Bava Basra pay dalin and beis. Oh, look at that. Here we have a same daf. Dimishicha kanya hasam. Even according to the one who holds that you can't make kinyanim rishus harabim, you can make kinyanim in a simta. Aims a makom hefker, because it's not a makom hefker. And therefore, if that's where the produce, detached produce is, when their father passed away, so the yoshim are automatically going to inherit it there. And someone who comes to season to take hold of it over there in that place is like they're holding it in the father's house, in there in the yoshim's house. Well, that's not going to work. And now the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shlokesh, Dharma Tavay, Afilu B'Simto. Now they hold that Rabbi Tafron's halacha applies that whoever comes to seize it, the malve, the woman, can seize it not only in the Rosh Hashanah, even in a simta, when the father dies, that is going to be acceptable as well. Because obviously they're of the opinion that a simta also has almost like the halacha of a Rosh Hashanah. It's certainly not the domain of the Yorshim themselves, not that private. And therefore, if the Isha or the Mava come to seize it, it belongs to them.